Now, this will seem a little odd. If you'd like to come over on this side, it works too. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be here. Beautiful to see Sharon and Leslie. Beautiful. Thank the Lord. Brother Tim is with us. And praise the Lord, Samuel. And thank God the Lord is here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, we are so very blessed to put our faith, our trust in the Lord. We're not out there just wondering, you know, where to go. Because we know the Lord. And yes, we have his word and how it instructs us. And we love the fact that that word of God, it is forever revealing. You know, we think we know a lot sometimes, and we know a little bit probably in reality, but there's always more to glean. There's always something new that the Lord's going to show us. And that is such a blessing because it's a roadmap. And we're not going to get to heaven, you know, just on our own, you know, by listening to man's philosophies or reading other kind of books. You know, for the most part, most of them aren't really very good in getting us to heaven. There may be a few sources where people who know the Lord are writing, and they may hopefully have some very good things to say, as we would hope if we were writing a track and preparing that and passing it out. We would hope it's full of the Word of God so that it will help others. But that is such a need in this world. And we're going to be kind of just going into some of that tonight. You know, everybody passing this way and you know, I can't quite imagine what it would be like. I don't want to imagine what it would be like to be out there and not know spiritually what's going on, not to have the Bible to lead us, to guide us, and to just make itself known. So we are so blessed, and I just think of others out there. You know, sometimes you do try to say just a little word, or you know, give them a track, or just some kind of invitation to church maybe, or whatever, but you know, it just people are skeptical, you know. A lot of people, they have their own religion, and they're content with that, they feel, and so on. But, oh my, you know, the Lord has put something within us. It's based on God's word, and it's wonderful. The words of life that register in our hearts, and we know if we've tasted that the Lord is good, we know that what is written is a truth. It is real. It is genuine. It is something that we can rely on. It's not going to change tomorrow. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's our God. We live in a very changing world, and you know, the inaccuracies and the hypotheses and everything else that we hear from time to time, and it's really curious, you know. I mean, you know, from time to time, you know, you grow up with a theory. I know in the medical world, there's things that I've seen change, you know. You know, maybe when my children were small and newborns, and there was a certain policy at that point. And, you know, maybe 10 years later, it was completely the opposite. But it just shows how changeable and how uncertain man is in so many ways. I mean, you know, we think we know this is and that many times. You know, we think we've got it right. And, you know, we read that and, yes, that sounds good. But, you know, maybe more research is done and more gathering of facts, and maybe AI gets a little involved in there. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, it may be an entirely different story. But praise the Lord, we've got God's word. And how wonderful that is in a world that is so very changing and is so subject to such. And we can lean on it. Praise the Lord, it proves itself true. when we put it to task, you know, when we apply it to our lives, we realize, hey, what's written works. He does come into our lives. He does change us. He does direct us. He does show us things. You know, he whispers little things in our ears from time to time, and you know, he corrects us, and you know, there's just so many ways that the Lord proves himself faithful. And his word, likewise, faithful, something that we can stand on. And oh, praise the Lord. It's our roadmap, and how very blessed we are to have it, to open it here tonight. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go into the scripture here tonight. We'll call this All We Like Sheep. And as we begin, let's just go to Isaiah 53, verse 6. To start here tonight, and of course I know this is familiar scripture, but praise the Lord, I love to hear it again and again myself. Amen. It's always something new, and I certainly need reminders all the time. So Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to verse 6. And of course, this chapter is very prophetic. It is so amazingly accurate, describing Jesus Christ those many years before he came to this earth. And oh yes, it's amazing. But it tells us in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's an amazing thought, just that. Yes, it is our tendency as human beings to wander away, to go astray, to, you know, have our own ways about us, and maybe just sometimes trying to prove that, you know, that theory that we have is true. And you know, we can be stubborn at times, and that's the nature of mankind. You know, just to, kind of be dogmatic maybe at times, and, you know, just determined to prove oneself, you know, accurate and all that, to show somebody, you know, hey, I'm right and you're wrong. Oh, terrible. Oh, terrible. Lord, help us. Oh, but, you know, the tendency of our human nature is to be like sheep that, you know, just easily go astray, you know, maybe one sheep gets a notion, and pretty soon the others are following that one, and pretty soon they might all be lost. They all might be in a thicket. God only knows, you know, what can happen when you have the wrong person, in this case the wrong sheep, leading you. And of course, you know, that's why, you know, sheep herders have, you know, sheep dogs and so on to help. And of course, that's why there needs to be a shepherd to guide the flock and to be observant and to keep that one that might just decide to go astray off, you know, from doing so. But that's man's tendencies. And, you know, we can all say that at times we got kind of stubborn, kind of thick-headed or whatever, and, you know, determined to try your own thing out, and yeah, went that way. But Jesus Christ came into this world, and he came to seek and to save those that are lost, praise the Lord, and that meant that he took our sins upon himself, the iniquity of us all, praise the Lord. That is so beautiful. Such a beautiful plan that God would robe himself in flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's no greater love than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us, you know. He could have got out of, you know, the cross. He didn't have to go that route. He could have, you know, the angels come and deliver him, and, you know, he could have avoided that whole situation, but he didn't. He deliberately let it happen. He deliberately went to that cross so he could take our sins, so we don't have to continue to live in them, you know, because there is a problem with sin. I know people think that everybody, you know, has a little sin in their life, and you know, sometimes it's almost considered to be cute, it seems like, by some, the way they describe it and the way, you know, they do it and so on. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that sin separates us from God. We desperately needed a Savior. You know, how are we going to get out of our dilemma? You know, when, you know, that's our tendency, that's our nature. And you know, we were all going that route at one point in our lives. But praise the Lord, God made a way. He sent forth the Savior, himself robed in flesh, to come to this world to take our sins away. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, God laid all our iniquities on Jesus Christ there on the cross. Oh my, you know, no wonder Gethsemane was so hard. Jesus, very well knowing what he was going to have to bear there, not only the excruciating pain of being on that cross, but realizing at the same time he was going to take on our sins. I mean, you know, something that he hated, you know, something that was he was very adverse to, you know. Oh my, but he did it because in so doing, he could save us from our sins. That blood that he shed was shed to atone for our sins. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a beautiful gift that we have been given. Eternal life, praise the Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we were in that dilemma, all as sheep going astray and turned everyone to his own way. But thank God the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus, that is, the iniquity of us all. And, you know, the New Testament confirms that in Romans chapter 3. Paul wrote, and of course these are simple little verses, but so very vital and needful to be realized. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So it's not excluding anyone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as human beings, we're all in that same boat together. And then if we turn to Romans, the sixth chapter, it goes on to explain that those sins, it says in verse 23 of Romans, the sixth chapter, "For the wages of sin is death." And if we just pause with that phrase, it's telling us that, you know, the output of sin, the consequences of sin, what it ends up meriting, if you could call it that word, what is gained from sin is death. And the death that is considered here is eternal separation from God. So, oh my, that's the boat that we are all in. That is the dilemma of sin. But praise the Lord, the verse continues and it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Praise the Lord. So, yes, God making a way out so that we can be forgiven those sins, so that we can give them to Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and have them taken from us. Oh, yes, that sin doesn't have to reign in our mortal bodies. You know, that sixth chapter of Romans talks about how that when we come to the Lord, that we acknowledge our sins and we are buried with him. The fourth verse here in this sixth chapter, Romans, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And praise the Lord, baptism is a wonderful thing. You know, we do, first of all, need to repent. And I do believe I'm going to be talking about repentance more tonight. But we need to, you know, repent. And that means to do an about face in our life, to turn our waywardness, our sinful nature over to the Lord Jesus, to acknowledge indeed the fact that we're sinners. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, in so doing, and you know, it might be some pride that we gotta swallow, because who wants to think, you know, we're that bad? But you know, like we read there, you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, it tells us in the Psalms that there's none righteous, no, not one. And so how can we get out of that category? Because it includes all of us. But praise the Lord, you know, God's way that he made for us, that we can come to him and give him those sins. Like I said, that blood that he shed on the cross was to atone for our sins. So it can cover our sins. So they don't have to be in front of us. That blood covers our sins. And that's a beautiful thing. And then when we come to the waters of baptism, as it refers to in verse 4 here in the 6th chapter of Romans, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And praise the Lord, we go down in those old sins that, you know, we're on our backs, that, you know, are causing us this terrible problem that separated us from God, are buried with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, so that we can go down in the water. It represents us identifying with Jesus in those waters and taking on his name in those waters, and then rising up out of those waters to represent the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to walk in newness of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, I believe. Oh, praise the Lord. And I believe it's verse 17. It tells us in, yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is so beautiful, because sin and its consequences are taken from us. They're given over, you know, they're no longer on our backs, so to speak. They're not there to hinder us. And the old things that we committed, the sins, you know, the sinful nature, the old man and everything else, it's passed away, it says. You know, we become new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord. It's like a new start, a new slate, and that sin is washed away in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord for the remission of our sins. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We have a wonderful gift. Yeah. Oh, the gift of salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, we are reconciled to God. It took Jesus Christ to come to this earth and take our sins through his death to buy us back, to bring us to God. Otherwise, God is a spirit, and you know, how was he going to make reconciliation for our sins? It would take a death. It would take the shedding of blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, we're told in the book of Hebrews. So yes, it was needful. It was God's way, and praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 18 here in this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And then it explains in verse 19, to wit, or that means to witness, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, we have hope. We can give hope to others. It's a message of reconciliation that, you know, despite our old man, despite our sins, despite the dilemma of all of that, we can be brought back. We can be reconciled. And, you know, those sins taken off are being, praise the Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ in obedience to the gospel. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 20 here in this fifth chapter, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." Oh, yes. Oh, be restored, you know. Oh, yes, such a blessing as it is. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Oh, praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Jesus Christ, yes, he took our sins on the cross. In other words, he was being made sin for us. So in so doing, he was making a way that we could be brought back or reconciled to God. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful plan. You know, the plan of God. And, you know, there's a neat little verse in the Proverbs that I think explains the wonderful ability to repent, because, you know, it's needful as we acknowledge our Savior that we repent and we allow that blood to cover our sins. Let's just look here for a moment. Proverbs chapter 28, and this is verse 13. It just explains so well God's plan. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." And many times, that's what people try to do, you know. And that's kind of a child's nature, you know. Little children often, you know, if they're caught in a, you know, a little thing, they, you know, maybe went to the cookie jar and took cookies, and they weren't supposed to do that, you know, and you know, mother comes and, oh, you know, looks like there's crumbs on the face and so on, maybe crumbs on the floor, and, you know, hey, did you take a cookie? And, well, you know, no, I don't want to admit I took a cookie. No, I didn't take a cookie. You know, people trying to cover up their sins. And of course, you know, there's many ways we could relate that. It gets a little more sophisticated as we get a little older, I would say. But yes, it tells us, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, if we come to the Lord and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we're told in 1 John, the first chapter. Praise the Lord. But yes, we want to give them over to the Lord and just it's really pretty simple, but, you know, instead of trying to cover them and ignore them and pretend it didn't happen and try to look innocent when we're not, oh, praise the Lord, it's so much better to give them over to the Lord Jesus and not try to cover them. Oh, my. But, oh, in other words, oh, and yes, much better to confess them and then to forsake them. And we are promised with that, that we shall have mercy. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we are blessed. Oh, the Lord made a way that we could be reconciled, that we could be brought back to God. But you know, each and every one of us, we were that sheep that went astray. You know, I mean, you know, and we're also told, book of Isaiah, that all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. So, you know, we might try to be good, you know, we might try to, you know, be the best person we know to be and to help other people and have a generous spirit and all those things. But, you know, it's going to take the righteousness of Jesus Christ to get us through this world, because no matter how hard we try of ourselves, it's never going to be good enough. So, yes, we were all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousnesses were as filthy rags. But praise the Lord, we can give it over to the Lord Jesus. And you know what he does? He clothes us with his righteousness. Praise the Lord. And he puts his righteousness upon us, you know, in obedience to the gospel, the repentance, and the obedience in going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, and then the power that he gives us with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. But, you know, we're all out there. We're all sinners. And, you know, we all needed a Savior. And, you know, it was told Joseph by the angel, you know, when he was considering putting Mary away, when it was found that she's with child, and he didn't understand that it was of the Holy Ghost, and you know, because that didn't seem right, but he, you know, and he was like a very, you know, God-serving man and so on, but the angel came and told him not to fear, but to take Mary, because that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And then he gave him instructions and said that he should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Even his name, Yeshua, Jesus, implies that he came as a Savior to take away our sins. Praise the Lord. And you know, John the Baptist too relayed that message. You know, behold the Lamb of God, he said when he saw Jesus coming forth. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And that's how it was. Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we all need a Savior. I'm going to ask you to turn now to Luke, the 15th chapter. And here we have some illustrations, I believe. You know, we all had a little different background. And, you know, we all were in the same boat as far as need a Savior, but, you know, as far as how we come to the Lord, or how we came to the Lord, it's always a little different story. And, you know, that is always an exciting thing to hear somebody's testimony of, you know, how the Lord dealt with them. I know, just Brother Tim back there, you know, he tells a story of how, you know, he was in a bar, and, you know, he was, you know, at a drink, and the Lord spoke to him in his heart and told him to put that drink down and go find a church. And, you know, it was a remarkable story because he listened. out of the blue, you know. He wasn't expecting that. I suppose it was just going to be another night in the bar, he thought. But, oh, praise the Lord for those moments where the Lord gets a hold of us. And, you know, praise the Lord, God put it in his heart to go find a church. Yes, that would instruct him. And that's a beautiful thing. I know the Lord, the night the Lord met with me, it was just another Sunday night, I thought. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know that I was going to be so convicted of all my sin that I just want to run to the altar and get right with God and pour my heart out, you know. And oh my, it was a message about the lake of fire. Oh my, it just came to me, I don't want to go there. You know, I don't want to go there. And oh, praise the Lord, it got a hold of me. The Lord changed me that night, amen. He changed me, and we all have our story, you know. Sharon and her Buddhist background, you know, and oh, how the Lord just began to deal with her. I remember you telling me how, you know, the tract that Brother Chong gave you, and, you know, at first you didn't want to read it, and, you know, and kind of afraid to read it, I think, and, you know, put it in your drawer. And oh, boy, you know. God knows how to work on our hearts.
Amen.
Each and every one of us, yeah, praise the Lord. And, you know, one day you begin to read it, and, you know, you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And,
amen.
My, things begin to change. You know, make inquiries, and pretty soon, in the middle of December or beginning of December, however that was, you came to Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, to be baptized. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. So here we are. Here we are. But so we all have a little different story. But let's look at these examples here in 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Praise the Lord. And here it tells us, as we begin here, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And that was always an upset with them. It's, you know, the first verse is interesting because, look, it's not the religious people who are coming to hear him. It's kind of the outcasts of the Jewish religious system at that point. It's the publicans who are tax collectors and, not esteemed very well at all, and the sinners who are coming to hear Jesus. And you've got the religious leaders here, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're just murmuring. They're murmuring, "This man receiveth sinners, and he's eating with them." Let's just turn here to the fifth chapter of Luke for a little example of that here. Luke chapter 5. And here in this fifth chapter, it tells us how Levi came to know the Lord. And I guess if we go look at verse 27 here in this fifth chapter of Luke, it tells us, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me." And if we were to turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter, and I don't really necessarily ask you to do that right now, but we learn it's also the same story, but it identifies Levi as Matthew. Matthew, the man who wrote that gospel of Matthew. Praise the Lord. But this is how God called him. Yeah, so there was a publican. He was named Levi. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector, and he was there, you know, collecting taxes, as it tells us in the fifth chapter of Luke. And he said unto him, Jesus, that is, being the he, said unto him, "Follow me." And I love Levi, or as he is better known as Matthew, his response. In verse 28, it tells us, "And he left all, rose up, and followed him." He just left it all. And, you know, tax collectors typically were very wealthy. And then to celebrate, you know, I would call this a celebration, a good one. It tells us in verse 29, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. So it's like now, yes, it's a new chapter in Levi or Matthew's life. And what does he do? He makes a great feast, and Jesus is invited, and also there are many publicans, other tax collectors and others that were considered sinners that came and sat down with them. And again, it's talking about the reaction of the scribes and Pharisees in verse 30. But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And you know, they're murmuring to Jesus and complaining. Yes, I mean, here you are. You know, why are you sitting with those disgusting people? We wouldn't sit with them. You know, we don't want anything to do with them. Oh, boy. But Jesus answered, and Jesus always had the perfect answers, tells us in verse 31, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And oh yes, that's the way it is in reality. And to explain that, is that the fact that if you're not willing to humble yourself and acknowledge your sin, then God can't call you. He can't change you. If you're stuck in your own righteousnesses and good deeds, your own philosophies and ways of life, then he can't help you. And so he used this example, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So yes, that indicates that in order to be called, in order to come to Jesus Christ, we have to acknowledge that we are a sinner. And you know, turn it over to him. And oh, praise the Lord, he is so gracious and kind and oh, so merciful to forgive us our sins, to make us new creatures in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. So, okay, that's another example here to go along with chapter 15. So here it is. Jesus is going to now give them, you know, parables to, you know, kind of indicate, you know, what is correct here and in the way of it, because Pharisees and scribes are murmuring, you know, this man, Christ Jesus, you know, he receiveth sinners and he eats with them, and they're not saying that, you know, very kindly or thinking it very kindly. So he's going to give us some examples here. He's trying to illustrate the point that we all need a Savior, that we are all out there and you know, all in our state of sin. And so he's going to give this parable unto them in verse 3, he tells us. And he says in verse 4, this is the 15th chapter of Luke, what man of you, verse 4, chapter 15, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So this is the illustration. Yes, a man that had 100 sheep. And one gets lost.
And so what does the shepherd do? Well, he's going to go. He's going to go search for that lost sheep out into the wilderness or wherever to find that one. And oh, praise the Lord, you know, it might take a long time to find that sheep. Oh, you know, in reality, if we're talking about people that are lost, it might take years sometimes. But oh, the wonderful moment when that sheep is found. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Oh, you can just see that word picture, you know, the shepherd with the sheep around his shoulders. And oh my, just so happy. I found my sheep. I found my sheep. And oh, it's a time to rejoice. And oh, yes, it's a time to celebrate. So when he cometh home, he calls together all his friends and his neighbors. Oh, just everybody he knew. Oh, that might want to come. And rejoice, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And Jesus compares this to the rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's a happy day. That's such a beautiful day that there's even rejoicing in heaven. Praise the Lord. And then there's another example here. Praise the Lord. It goes on, verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Jesus said in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, praise the Lord. So another example, and it is possible, you know, this example that Jesus was giving, the 10 coins, you know, coins generally maybe weren't all that expensive if they were silver, but you know, it was obviously very valuable to this woman. She was going to seek, she was going to do everything she could do possibly to find it, you know, to light a candle if it was dark, and then sweep the house and look and look and look, seek diligently, putting forth her very best effort until she found it. It was possibly part of her dowry, which often they wore as a headdress on their foreheads, and it was often given to them on their wedding day, and you know, they would wear it thereafter. So you can imagine the dilemma if, you know, suddenly maybe one of the pieces came loose and fell. Obviously, in this case, it wasn't noticed right away, but you know, you look at it, oh my, there's only 9, you know, pieces of silver on this headdress, and oh dear, what am I going to do? Because, you know, this was something of great importance, very meaningful, and it represented, you know, faithfulness and so on, there with her marriage vow and so on. So, you know, she's going to do her very best. Oh, I've got to find it. 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 Mm-hmm. Oh, the coin doesn't know it's lost. But, you know, the woman, you know, she knows it's lost. And she puts forth her very, very best effort to find it. And praise the Lord, finally, oh, swept that corner and oh, looked under some dust and oh my, ah, that shiny thing is right there. And oh, I can imagine stooping down to gather it. And oh my, you know, so thankful, restoring it to its place where it needed to be. And then oh my, calling her. Everybody she knew, her friends and her neighbors, come, 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 come rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. And
It's so beautiful because the simple illustration Jesus uses to illustrate the rejoicing in heaven. Oh, by even the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so then there's another story here. You know, the sheep that got lost. Obviously, you know, a sheep in trouble would have, you know, some ability to perceive it was lost and in trouble. But, you know, in the parable, the illustration that Jesus gives, it's in a big predicament. It can't get out of, you know, its trouble. It's stuck or whatever. It can't move. It's wedged in or, you know, I just completely lost and you know, in great straits. It was going to take the shepherd to come and find him. He was stuck, that dear little sheep. Well, the coin didn't know that it was lost. But, you know, the woman knew it was lost. And she had to find it. She was going to do her very, very, very best to find that coin so it could be restored. And, oh, yes, representing the sinner that maybe didn't realize he or she was lost. But, you know, oh my, you know, the individual, the sower goes out to sow that seed or to, you know, to find that person, the Lord, or however it's done, maybe talking to the heart so that, you know, that person can come to Jesus Christ. Of course, that sheep that was stuck, I was going to take a shepherd to go look and look and look and look to find that sheep that, had, you know, some, you know, realization of, oh, this is not good. I can't get out, you know, can't eat, can't sleep, you know, I'm stuck. And, you know, I don't know how sheep think exactly, but, you know, often Jesus compared human beings to sheep. We have some of the same tendencies, I would say, but in a way, you know, while the shepherd, knowing our dilemma, knowing how stuck we are, going out searching until we were found. Praise Amen. The Lord. Praise Lord. The Lord. But now there's another story here. Yes, Jesus is talking to those Pharisees and scribes. He tells another story here, starting with verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living, so that which would have been his inheritance, you know, was given to him rather early, and, you know, that which would belong to him at that point when it would have been usually given out. He asked for it early. And then, you know, having been given that inheritance, that living, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So, you know, he got that inheritance, sat on it a few days, it seems, and then decided to take off and go to a far country. And what did he do there? He used it all up, all of it, with riotous living, living that wasn't decent at all. It was stuff that you would be ashamed of, you know. He didn't use restraint. He didn't use any wisdom. He just, you know, did whatever he wanted to do in his rebellious heart. And so it was gone. And it tells us, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine being pigs. And here he is, okay, now, yeah, he's there in the fields with the pigs and feeding them, it seems, but
no man gives to him, it tells us in the 16th verse. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Oh my, it's just, oh my, the you know, the residue that goes to the pigs. But something happened, you know, in the midst of this here, it's a dilemma, you know, he has no money, he has no place to lay down his head that's decent, you know, it sounds like he's not getting fed, and all at once, praise the Lord, it comes to him. It comes to him, hey, why am I doing this? Why am I living like this? I don't have to live like this. Why did I put this on myself? It tells us in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And so it came to him, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See, oh, what came to him is, I've got to get right. I've made a mess of myself. I took my money and I spent it all, it's, you know, doing sinful, awful things. And now I have nothing. I have nothing. I'm going to die in the pig pen. But praise the Lord, it came to him. It came to him. Oh, praise the Lord, when the Lord starts talking to us and suddenly it really, we get, to, you know, in our thick heads. Oh my, I can turn my life over to Jesus Christ. I can acknowledge my sins. I can get right with him. Oh, it's gonna be okay. He's gonna give me a new life. Oh, he's gonna change me. He's gonna make, oh yes, a way for me in this world that could be so contrary and confusing. And so it came to him, oh yes, it came to him. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That confession, oh yes, and I'm a sinner and I need to get right. I've done so wrong. And he said, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, yes, he knew he had to humble himself, you know. And that's it, you know, the way up is down. You know, before we could do anything of meaning, of fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus, we have to get right with him. We have to turn our hearts over to him. You have to repent, you know. And so, praise the Lord, it came to this wayward prodigal. I'm just going to go back. I get rid of this pride. This awful self. I can do it. The Lord will help me. And the beautiful thing is, here he is. He's back. He knows he's not worthy to be called a son anymore. He figures, and you know, if I could just be as a servant, you know, oh yes, anything would be better than my present dilemma. But the beautiful thing is the Father's love, the Father's compassion. Oh, it's so amazing. And of course we know that the Father that's being described here in this 15th chapter, oh, it represents the love of Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. And just look at this, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, the father was waiting for him to come back day after day after day after day. I don't know how many days, how many months, how many years, but the father was waiting. He was looking every day down the road. Is my son going to come back today? I'm looking. Oh, I don't see him today. But oh, praise the Lord, one day he's looking down the road and there he saw his son. Oh,
yes, he was a long ways off, but that's my son. I know it's my son. It's my son. And oh, praise the Lord, the father saw him. And oh, yes, he was a great way off. And oh, he had compassion, and he ran. He ran. He ran toward his son and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the love that Jesus Christ has for us. Oh, the one who gave his life for us. And oh, he's so willing, oh, that we would come to him. He doesn't want to see anybody to perish, to die in their sins. But, yes, God's great love and hope is that we would come to him and surrender our lives to him. He's waiting. He's watching. Oh, he's calling. Praise the Lord. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. See, there was that acknowledgement of sin, and that's so necessary if we're going to get right with God. Yes, we have to realize, yes, I've got to turn it over. I've done these things, and and they're not right. And I'm going to give them over to Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And oh, yes, that love. You know, the one that's just waiting and longing, outstretched there to, have us to come back. Oh, yes, to serve him, because this prodigal, he'd been, raised in a house where he was a rightful son and he was heir. It all had, the best going for him. But in his rebellious heart, in his sinful nature, he abandoned that. He ran away, He gave it up. He wanted to do his own thing and, went the wrong direction. But praise the Lord, there was one who was waiting for him. One who had compassion. And, it's such a beautiful story. We have these different types of individuals. The sheep that, got lost and needed a shepherd. Got in the middle of a great dilemma and he couldn't get loose, couldn't find his way or whatever the trouble was. The shepherd came out to find him. Praise the Lord, acknowledge that, I need help. I'm lost, I need help. The coin couldn't, understand that it was lost. And, as human beings, we might not understand the dilemma of sin. That if we don't get right with God, that we're in great jeopardy, that, we're doomed, that, there's like a fire that's awaiting us. Oh, but praise the Lord for the one that so diligently went to seek and find that coin, wherever it was buried, wherever it had fallen, who knows, sometimes you might have to look through garbage in order to find that special thing that got lost. And here we have this prodigal who, he'd been home, he had it pretty good. He was rightfully a son, but oh my, the whims that got into his head, things that he pursued and followed, it was going to take him a while to come to himself and to realize, hey, I'm going the wrong way. Oh, I haven't listened. I haven't done things appropriately. I've fallen from grace. I'm not even worthy to be I'm not worthy to be a son. I've really messed up. But that father, and it represents our Savior, praise the Lord. What did the father do? How did he react? We see it in verse 22 here in this 15th chapter. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And the ring was probably one with a signet, one probably maybe the family's sign or whatever that, would indicate that he was a member of that family. At least that's what I'm guessing as I read this. So it was very significant, and the best robe, and you know, a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Oh yes, this represents the rejoicing. Oh yes, when that prodigal returns to Jesus Christ. Oh yes, when you know the individual lets go of, you know, his rebellious or her rebellious thinking and ways and waywardness and, you know, all the things that, you know, he allowed or she allowed into their life. But you see, God's great love and God's ability to restore, put that ring back on the finger, you know, the shoes on the feet. Praise the Lord, the best robe. And then the time of rejoicing. Oh, the rejoicing in heaven over that prodigal who comes back. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's such a beautiful story. And, you know, no matter, you know, what dilemma we find ourselves in, the Lord's able to take us in, to talk to us, to make a way that we can be found. Praise the Lord. And, oh, I'm so glad that the Lord had mercy on me and compassion. And that night that he called me, wow, like I mentioned earlier, I wasn't planning on, you know, giving my life over to the Lord that night. But oh, thank God, he got a hold of me. Amen, he got a hold of me. I just couldn't wait to get up there and pray and pour my heart out to the Lord, you know? Amen. And not only did he forgive me, but he filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the next Sunday night. Praise the Lord. But, you know, that's our God's mercy. And it's so beautiful. The rejoicing in heaven. Oh, the rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. The angels also just, oh my, we could just hear it. We could just hear it. Oh, the wonder of it, the beauty of it, the sound, you know, like we could never hear anything so beautiful. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the one who bought us, the one who loved us so much that he gave his life a ransom there on the cross. He laid his life down, Jesus Christ. He didn't have to die, but he laid it down because, you know what? He saw us. He saw us from the cross. He knew that one day that we as individuals would walk this earth, and that, you know, one day there would be conviction in our heart, and he would move in us. And all at once we would feel, oh, our need to get right with God. Oh, praise the Lord, he saw us. He saw us from the cross, and he realized, oh my, yes, I'm gonna, oh yes, there's gonna be a people that are gonna be redeemed. Oh, that are gonna be bought and brought to me, you know, restored. Oh yes, given to me as my own sons and daughters. Praise the Lord, you know. I don't know how much more time I have. You know, the oldest son was a little bit upset because, you know, he was out in the fields when all this rejoicing was going on, and, you know, he couldn't figure it out. And then, you know, it was told to him by one of the servants, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And, you know, my brother went and, you know, spent his, you know, his life away on those flings and that riotous living and you know, all of that. And now they're having a party. They're having a celebration. They're so happy. Oh, he was angry. That older son was angry, as it was told to him. It tells us in verse 28 that he was angry and would not go in. He didn't want to join this isn't right. Why? My brother was rebelled and went his own way, took his money and left, nobody's celebrating me, I've been faithful, I've been doing the good stuff, and they haven't had a party for me. Oh my, he was a little upset. It says, and he was angry and would not go in. But look at this. Here's the Father again that represents our Heavenly Father. Therefore came his Father out and entreated him. Oh yes, sometimes we get stung kind of bad. Sometimes it just seems like, we're being trampled on and things aren't going right. And why, why am I not appreciated? Why are they so mean to me? Why am I being criticized or whatever all, it can happen, That's part of life so often. Our tendency is to get angry. I'm not going to join that party. I can't celebrate my brother. But the Father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his Father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends to get the fatted calf. I mean, that would be the best, to make this wonderful dinner for the celebration. And here's the protest, the older son. Hey, I've been trying so hard. I've been, I didn't go off and transgress. And I've been faithful to you, Father. And you didn't give me, a fatted calf. You didn't make, a party for me. And so he's confused and he's angry. He's upset. Verse 30 says, But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And here's the father's response. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Oh, praise the Lord. We were all out there in one way or the other. But praise the Lord, Jesus had compassion on us. And oh, yes, God sees faithfulness. The Father representing God, he saw the faithfulness of that older son. And it wasn't ignored, He knew it, and it was going to be accounted for, And in the end, it would come out just right. It would come out beautifully. Praise the Lord. Because God sees faithfulness. He sees that person who was true to him, even when, there might be arrows being shot at him and, people saying nasty things and, shunning or hating or God knows. So many things can happen in this world. But oh, yes. Oh, the wonderful response. We all need a Savior. And oh, yes, whether we're that sheep that got lost and, in a dilemma and couldn't get out without help, or that coin that didn't even realize it needed to be found, or that prodigal that, deliberately left a good situation and rebelled and got engaged in sin and went, his own willful, sinful, rebellious way. Oh my. Regardless, our Heavenly Father is so gracious and merciful and so longing that we would be restored, that we'd come back, we could again be reconciled have all those things that the devil tried to take away restored again. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is so gracious and good. He loves us so much, and with such great compassion, he came to this world to die for us, to take our sins away, to shed his blood. Oh, praise the Lord. It's such a beautiful story. And as I close here tonight, I'd just like to read a few verses from Isaiah 53.
I know we started with the sixth verse, saw we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But let's look at the last few verses here. Verse 10 here in Isaiah 53. Oh, it's so beautiful. You know, Jesus taking on our sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we could be out there. We could be wandering. We could be lost. We could not even, you know, we could be like that coin and not even know our great need. Or we could be stuck. Oh, and stuck and not able to get out. But oh, the Lord Jesus who comes to rescue us. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, who gave his life so willingly on our behalf. Oh, it tells us here in the 10th verse of Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. He saw us near the cross. He saw his children, his seed. Oh, praise the Lord. He knew he was making his soul an offering for sin, but there was a vision beyond that. Jesus could see his children, you and I, who would come to him, repent of our sins, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He could see us, and he knew that, oh, he would bring forth a spiritual family, sons and daughters. That was the travail of his soul. It was his children that would come forth, praise the Lord, because of his sacrifice, because of his willingness to give up himself to us, for us, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it says, yes, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, yes, it's going to be worth it. Yes, because in so doing and so giving his life there on the cross, he's going to bring forth children. He's going to bring forth you and I. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what he did on the cross. He saw us, and it satisfied him. He knew he was making his soul an offering for sin. But oh, yes, his children, they would prolong his days. Because, yes, we would go into the world and preach the gospel. Praise the Lord, we would carry on. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still teaching the word of God. Praise the Lord, he's still putting it in our hearts. He's still filling people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, so that we can be joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we don't have to live in our sins. Oh, praise the Lord, so we can be forgiven and walk that road, oh, that highway of holiness. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the gift of salvation. And God, we pray that you'd work in every heart. Oh, God, let us be who we need to be in you, Lord. Thank you for that unspeakable gift, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for that sacrifice that you so freely gave for us, Lord. Oh, your own self on the cross. Oh, bearing our sins, shedding your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God, because you saw us. You saw your seed, and it satisfied you. Oh, yes, by this knowledge, you knew you would justify many, for you would bear our iniquities. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Yes, turn it over to Jesus. He's here. His presence is here. He's here to meet every need. Oh, to make us what we ought to be. Oh, yes. So, yes, that we can be heirs of the kingdom, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank God. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank God. He works in our hearts and he changes us.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, it's so wonderful because we just give him our little bit, and oh, he blesses us so much more. And, you know, when you worship him, when you praise him, his presence comes down. He touches us. He meets our needs. He hears our cries. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed to be his children. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I love that. You shall see his seed and be satisfied. Amen. What he did on the cross. Oh, amen. To bring us forth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnal to number 272 and sing Amazing Grace, 272. Thank you. a wonderful night. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.